Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we welcome you to hour number two of this Monday. And what a fun Monday it is. Donnie Wrightside and myself, Ben Stevens, get to sit in our armchair and play Monday morning armchair quarterback. Beautiful. Recapping a wild Sunday slate in week number 8 around the NFL. DRS, one of the least wild games of the day. The Buffalo Bills, 3-point road favorite in Seattle, taking on the Seahawks. Buffalo had 1-2 straight. The Seahawks pulled off a huge upset last week in Atlanta. Seattle, an interesting team. They won their first three games of the year, lost their next three. Upset win last week in Atlanta against the Falcons. I think we see a pretty mediocre football team in the Hawks the rest of the way. Buffalo blows them out on a rainy Sunday afternoon in the Northwest, 31-30. Buffalo covers as a 3-point favorite. Three straight wins for the Bills after a 3-0 start of their own, then dropping two straight, they have covered in all three victories.
I love this team. I love the Buffalo Bills. Like, if you're trying to put together an offense, you know how much I get on like the lines. But, like, you know, that's my favorite team in the NFC. They win at every level. The Buffalo Bills are now doing that. An elite quarterback that finally threw an interception and it didn't matter because they won the game by 3 touchdowns. James Cook, who looks like he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. 17 carries, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The wide receiver position, Khalil Shakir, one of my favorite slot receivers in the rain. 9 catches for 107. Keon Coleman coming on now. 5 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. You get Amari Cooper. He has 1 catch for 3 yards. You say, whoa, he's really not fitting in. No, this is why it's perfect. Defenses now just can't say, yeah, I got a rookie on one side, we'll handle him. I have a good slot receiver. Let's make sure we put our best corner on him, and nobody else can beat us here. The fact that you have 2 tight ends that can get open and make catches here. I love this Buffalo Bills team. It didn't surprise me one bit. I thought Seattle was in trouble once it announced that DK Metcalf was not going to play. But if you are going to come into that game as the Buffalo Bills defense in the rain against a team that's like, you know what? I think we can play ground and pound. 17 carries, 32 yards. That's all Seattle had to offer yesterday on the ground. The Buffalo Bills, look, I understand the Ravens lost yesterday. What an embarrassing loss that was overall. But the Buffalo Bills now starting to, as we like to say, circle the wagons. That offense is complete, and that offense will be able to compete with anybody in the NFL. How good or bad that defense is, I'm so impressed by the Bills offense week to week now.
And Amari Cooper did very little yesterday. I believe just one grab in the football game against the Seahawks. Yeah, 1 catch on 2 targets for 3 yards. Buffalo is now 6-2. The Bills look to be that AFC title contender. And the Ravens probably still are. But what a game yesterday in Cleveland. Enter Jameis Winston. His pregame interview with the CBS broadcast crew. Unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. It is what he has. His pregame tunnel speech to his teammates where he realized the Browns have no helmet decal and still went on to motivate his team. Man. The Browns come back, DRS, to snap a 5-game losing skid to knock off the Ravens, who were on a 5-game winning streak, 29-24. As a 7.5-point underdog outright, Jameis Winston throws for more than 303 touchdowns. Cleveland's got a quarterback for the rest of this season.
It's crazy. Like, tell me give me the crystal ball and let me read the box score. What did Lamar do against the Browns? 289 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Well, how about Derrick Henry? 11 for 73 and a touchdown. Did Lamar run it all? Yeah, 8 for 46. And who'd they play, the Browns? That's 24-3. That's the final score. The Ravens went easy, only to get beat 29-24 because Jameis Winston was out here having the time of his life, no pressure, throws 41 times against a banged up secondary, which is what you're supposed to do. 3 touchdowns, but the more impressive thing, he didn't have an interception, which is incredible. How did Jameis Winston, 41 passes? That's supposed to be at least 5 interceptions out of Jameis. That didn't happen yesterday. Well, Tillman, 7 for 99. Elijah Moore, 8 for 85. Judy, 5 for 79. This is what I talk about so many times. And yes, tonight we are going to see the Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Giants. The reason I'm bringing that game up right now is when you get a quarterback that can throw the football and the wide receivers know it, they get excited and they perform. Case in point yesterday, Deshaun Watson couldn't get anybody the football. Amari Cooper's like, get me out of here. I can't play anymore. Now Jameis Winston is firing it. These guys are running routes knowing they can get the football. Invigoration in Cleveland. And by the way, the Ravens, I'm not letting you off the hook. You can't lose that game. That is embarrassing, man. It really is.
And they did score with Derrick Henry, who had a huge fourth quarter with just over 2.5 minutes left. Again, it felt like the Ravens were struggling all day. They were going to win the football game and get out of there with an ugly victory. And we'd still be praising Jameis for a great game. You got the Jameis Winston experience yesterday. The pregame optimism and hype in the speeches that he gives is one of the great orators in all of the National Football League. And you mentioned no interceptions, DRS. With just over a minute, he should have been picked. He floated one into the arms of Kyle Hamilton, who plays for the flock, who just dropped it. It maybe was too easy that he dropped it. And in the very next play, the 38-yard touchdown toss to Cedric Tillman, the experience in two plays for Winston and the Browns. Believe me, Flacco, who led this team to the postseason last year, threw a lot of interceptions. Jameis is going to throw some interceptions before this year is through. But last night, 27 of 41, 334, and 3 touchdowns. The Ravens have now lost multiple games this year, booked as more than a touchdown favorite. Something to worry about a little bit. 5-game win streak. Derrick Henry had at least 92 yards in all, at least 15 carries. In the first 6 games of this year, or 7 games of this year, yesterday, only 11 attempts, his season low for just 73 yards. Huge game yesterday, DRS, in Tampa in the NFC South between the Falcons and the very short-handed Buccaneers. Tampa was trying to make its way back. Atlanta holds on. 31-26, the victory for the Dirty Birds. They win and cover as a slight 1.5 favorite on the road in Tampa. Over 47.5, two high-scoring affairs between these two NFC South divisional foes this season. But Donnie, speaking of the NFC South division, the Falcons, a huge victory to already sweep this South season series. It will put them in front of the Bucs, maybe for the entirety of the year.
Yeah, it should. And like, my preseason pick coming into was the Atlanta Falcons. Wasn't giving up on them early here. Was Kirk Cousins not healthy? Was he not? You're blowing football games. Doesn't matter. You now sit 5-3 in that division in first place after scoring 31 points, which included Kirk Cousins. Was like, hey, is it time to go to Michael Penix? Not necessarily. 276, no. 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Bijan was decent on the ground. You actually have Kyle Pitts sightings all over the place now. 2 deep touchdown passes. Liked what I saw of the Falcons, but it is like the NFL. NFL teams take their foot off the gas pedal. The Buccaneers made it really close in the second half. But what did you want? Baker Mayfield threw 50 times. So that is 2 top targets. You knew it was probably going to end badly, and it did.
330 yards for Baker, 3 touchdowns. He's got 21 touchdown tosses this year, most in the NFL, but also had multiple interceptions yesterday. He's got 7 INTs in the last 3 games for the Buccaneers, who have been a great underdog. 9-4 ATS last year as a dog in Baker's first year in Tampa Bay. Outright victory 7 times. Won outright in their first 2 games as an underdog this season. Now have not covered in 3 straight. Somehow, some way, the Arizona Cardinals, even 500. And Chad Ryland, the second-year kicker from Maryland, is delivering in crucial spots for the Cards. But, of course, the story of yesterday entering Tua Tagovailoa's return. You can see what he means to this Miami offense, who had not scored more than 20 points in any game this year. The Dolphins score 27. but Kyler leads the Cardinals on a comeback. Chad Ryland, in his fourth game with this team, his third walk-off field goal in the last 4 weeks for Arizona. The Cardinals are 4-4. They have won outright a bunch as an underdog this year, three times in their last 4 weeks.
Hey, man, got to give it up to Jonathan Gannon, head coach here, keeping this team together. It's also like, which Sunday do you get to pick? The team that wants to fight the other teams or the team that wants to lay down? Yesterday, they wanted to fight. They got down and looked like the Dolphins are going to run away with the victory. Weren't able to do it. Connor, good day. But how about this? McBride and Harrison. Marvin Harrison Jr., yeah. 6-for-111. Step up, kid. He did. Big win for the Cards in the playoff picture now.
Yes, they certainly are. A touchdown grab for MHJ as well. More around the NFL to complete the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just to show you the stats yesterday for Tua Tagovailoa, he returned and the offense looked as good as it has all year. 234 yards, a 13-yard scramble, and a slide that led to a standing ovation in South Florida and a touchdown. Again, Miami had not scored more than 20 points this year. They were the worst scoring offense in the NFL entering yesterday. They put up 27, albeit in a losing effort. And again, Donnie, although Tua Tagovailoa is back, the offense looks a ton better. Miami is 2-5 in 1-6 against the spread this year, losing outright as a favorite four times. There's not a lot of time left for Miami to turn it around. Can the Dolphins even factor into the playoff conversation the rest of the way?
I don't think so. Like, you came back, and the reason I loved, you know, Tua Tagovailoa coming back was, number one, it's going to play a bad defense, but number two, it opens up the running game. Like, Devon Achane ran for 9.7 yards per carry and then chipped in with an extra six catches for 50 yards, and you still lost that game because your defense was bad. Remember all the fun we had in the offseason? Like, hey, man, Vic Fangio is going to the Eagles, and they show, like, kicking rocks, and thank God that guy's gone. Well, I'll tell you, you probably needed Vic Fangio yesterday to hold the Arizona Cardinals to under 28 points, yeah. And you would have won that football game. Now, we did have a spirited conversation yesterday on the desk at Pro Football Today. The old guard, me and Joe Lisi, would never wear the Guardian cap. Kevin Walsh said he would wear the Guardian cap. So, Ben, we throw it to you. Would you wear the Guardian cap in the NFL as a quarterback? Because for me, swag, look, forget about your life expectancy and your quality of life after 50. Swag is way more important to me. So there you go.
I know swag matters more to you. I don't love the Guardian cap. Right? I don't know how much. I would have to do my research, DRS, to really see the numbers on if it does reduce concussions by a ton. If it did, maybe. I saw a great meme, by the way. Mike McDaniel asking Tua Tagovailoa to wear a Guardian cap, so he put on Cleveland's MLB team hat. That was pretty good stuff. All right. Anyway, elsewhere around the National Football League as we fly through the rest of the Sunday slate scores. Again, nobody had a bye during Week 8. 14 games, the largest Sunday of the year. Kansas City goes into Las Vegas, struggles early, but does win. The Raiders did score a touchdown with just over 2 minutes remaining to cover, but KC remains the only undefeated team left in the NFL, 27-20, the victory.
Yeah, I did like that game yesterday. My best bet was over 1.5 touchdown passes on Patrick Mahomes because finally you were getting a price you couldn't avoid here, Ben. A minus 114 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I know he hadn't thrown a touchdown pass in a couple weeks, but you were going up against a really bad defense, specifically against coverage. I thought Mahomes was fine. They won the football game. Kelce finally got into the end zone, so I was pretty impressed yesterday. Even though they didn't cover, all they do is win. It's what the Chiefs do, and who knows some of the changes they might be able to make at the deadline, getting another wide receiver. I don't know if they need it. As long as Mahomes is there and Andy Reid is there, you just continue to win.
I mean, give Davante Adams to this team after DeAndre Hopkins his debut had two grabs for 29 yards. He's okay. I didn't really expect all that much in this first game. Yeah. Moving forward, maybe. Travis Kelce, his first regular season receiving touchdown in a long time. Mahomes, two touchdowns, only one INT. Still a negative touchdown to INT ratio this year. 8 to 9, but a much better game. And oh, by the way, Antonio Pierce made a lot of headlines this week for something he said back in the offseason. After the Raiders beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead on Christmas, they talked about the Jordan rules and roughing Mahomes up. Patrick is 11-2 against the Raiders in his career, a perfect 6-0 in Allegiant Stadium. So the Chiefs are the only undefeated team left, DRS. Of course, we give them the pedigree. They are the rightful Super Bowl favorites. But are they the best team in the NFL? Could that be Detroit at 6-1? The Lions hammer, and I mean hammer, the Titans yesterday, 52-14. You know my favorite thing about this? The Lions cover as an 11.5-point favorite. Jared Goff threw for only 85 yards. His team scored 52, and they beat the Titans by a ton, covering as the largest favorite this year in the NFL.
I now have 4 separate bets on the Lions to win the NFC. Every single week, I get free bets, little here, little there, start to pile on, but you're right about this. You see the Lions score 52, and you say, oh, wow, Jared Goff went off, 450 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. The fact that he threw for 85 yards here, Amon-Ra St. Brown had 2 catches for 7 yards in this game, and they won 52-14, tells you everything you need to know about this team. They are fantastic, and also, when we look at the Jets moving forward, Hassan Reddick's, but like, you don't need half these players on the Jets. And if you are teams like the Lions, where this is your season to win a Super Bowl, you are the best team in the NFC. You lost your best pass rusher. You know what you do as a general manager? You go and get 2 competent pass rushers and say, you know what? We're going to fortify this team. They're playing very good on defense, and their offense is absolutely elite. I love the Lions. They're my pick to get through the NFC, and I will continue to add more and more, Ben, every single week on this team, because they will win the NFC.
Trade deadline 1 week from tomorrow. The Detroit Lions have never played in a Super Bowl in their franchise's history. They've played in an NFL championship game way back in the late 50s, but never in the biggest game in the Super Bowl era. The Texans hold on to beat the Colts 23-20. Indy does cover as a 4.5-point underdog. C.J. Stroud bounces back 86 yards last week in Lambeau, 285 yesterday. But the story is the other quarterback, Anthony Richardson, 10 of 32 for 175 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. 48.5 is his completion percentage this year, DRS. 10 completions or less for Indianapolis in the 6 full games he has played this year. That has happened 5 times. And he checked himself out of the game after a long run because he was winded. It's not great in Indy.
Yeah, he's still in his rookie season. Sometimes you say, like, making those rookie mistakes, not reading coverages, he's just not accurate. And usually you can't fix it. The only guy I've seen that may have a little bit of accuracy struggles get fixed was Josh Allen with Brian Daboll as his offensive coordinator. Yeah. The turnaround that he had with him was tremendous. I don't know if I see it here. We have to understand he hasn't played a lot of football just yet, but he came from college, and the knock on him was he can't complete average passes here. It's hard to recorrect that in the professional, especially when, you know what's going to happen, Ben? He's probably going to get injured the next 2 to 3 weeks, miss a game or two, and we're going to say, like, oh, maybe we reevaluate next year. Shane Steichen is an awesome head coach and a great play caller. He just needs a quarterback, and he doesn't have one right now.
And he doesn't. And if one of the then positives for Anthony Richardson is his athleticism and his ability to take off, well, if him taking off means that he's too winded to stay in the game. I mean, it ain't great. More from Sunday, then to Saturday, and the World Series next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The rest of the Sunday scores. DRS, let's fire through 2. The Chargers beat the Saints. Both Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener played yesterday. It's bad for New Orleans. After a perfect 2-0 start, they've now lost 6 in a row. And they did not cover yesterday against the Bolts. They went 26-8, back above 500. Total of 41.5 stays under. Picture perfect game for LA. Bryce Young made his return in Mile High against Denver. Oh, it was not good. I'm an idiot. I bet on the Panthers. I thought maybe, just maybe, there would be a little bit of something. A late touchdown makes it even a 2-touchdown game. Denver rolls 28-14. They cover as an 11.5-point closing favorite as well. Defense is great. Bo Nix was really good. The Broncos 3-0 against the number as the favored side. Donnie, Denver is 5-3. They look like a playoff team at this moment.
Yes, they're going to make the playoffs. And by the way, the pettiness of Sean Payton, I've always loved to bet into yesterday. Now, granted, I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I did take their team total over, paired up with the Chiefs on like an all-team total, played 125, and it ended up being a winner. But I had a couple of round robins yesterday. One of them, Ben, was a five-leg round robin with all touchdown scores. You know the final one was? It was Cortland Sutton. Did you see the end of that football game where they're throwing like reverses? Yeah. Cortland Sutton caught a pass that got down to the one-yard line, and he fumbled. He gets in. That cashes a five-leg round robin for me. But the fact of the matter is, I love that football game because I know how petty he is and loves to run the score up, which he tried to do yesterday. That was a vulnerable Carolina Panthers team, and they used that and certainly slayed them. It was 28-7. They got that late 14, which actually, I believe, got over the total in that game. But I like what I see out of the Denver Broncos. That doesn't look like a rookie quarterback playing quarterback anymore. No. The one thing you liked about Sean Payton early on in the season, he let Bo Nix work through his stuff. Man, you're letting him throw 45 times. That's crazy. No, it's not. Get him experience in his rookie season, and look how well it's paying off, where you have rookie quarterbacks in their first season on a franchise that you don't expect all that much from, with the chance to make the playoffs. That's being a damn good coach.
In their first two losses of the year, Bo Nix, his first two career games, multiple interceptions in both. From that time, and Denver's won five of their last six, in that overall span, eight touchdown tosses to only one INT, three yesterday, 284 yards for Nix. J.C. Horn, Carolina's corner, did not really enjoy the idea that Sean Payton was petty and running up the score. Let him hear it in the post-game handshakes. But the Broncos are 5-3. Quickly, DRS, the Packers win 30-27. Brandon McManus has been on the team for 2 weeks. He has hit two walk-off field goals. They beat the Jags in Duval 30-27. Jacksonville does slightly cover. Who cares, man? They stink. It's only a matter of time for Doug Peterson. For Green Bay, though, important. Jordan Love injured early in the second half. Malik Willis, 4 of 6, 56 yards, a touchdown, 23 yards on the ground. Donnie, Malik Willis, third round draft pick, now 3 years ago for Tennessee, played in a bunch of games, started a few at the end of his rookie year, never threw a touchdown, has thrown a touchdown in all three games he has appeared in, and at least in full for the Packers. Matt LaFleur has figured something out with this guy, and Green Bay keeps winning football games, now 6-2.
Matt LaFleur is a really good coach, and that shows you, where Malik Willis now is not just saying, okay, Jordan Love's back, let me just go off and not pay attention to anything. Clearly, he's invested in also understanding what works. Bring your backup quarterback in, set him up in the best spots, which means Josh Jacobs, hey, buddy, you're going to carry the ball 25 times for a buck 27 and two scores to try to alleviate the pressure on Malik Willis. And it was almost like in the offseason, teams like the Eagles go, oh, you know, we really help our team, an elite running back. Look at that. You take a look at the Green Bay Packers. Oh, that's an interesting move for Josh Jacobs on a passing team. Look at Josh Jacobs and what he's done this season. I like the Green Bay Packers. That division is unbelievable. But even though they only won by 3 points, the way they won that football game losing Jordan Love, I love that. That's such a good sign for the Green Bay Packers. And a quick point on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You saw we're going to talk some injuries here coming up with Dr. Chow. Even Brian Thomas lands on the football. Who knows how long he's going to be out for this point with rib injuries. You lose Christian Kirk. And also, Kirk was one of the going to be those guys that's going to get you a second-round pick here at the trade deadline. Now he's down for the season. You get nothing here. It only is getting worse for the Jaguars.
Over in four straight for Jacksonville. They're 2-6. Their divisional mates, Tennessee, who were absolutely blown out by the Lions yesterday. They are 1-6. The Titans also 1-6 against the number. It's bad in the AFC South, except for the Texans. Short week Thursday night football game. Houston, though, just 5-9-1 against the spread as the favored side with CJ Stroud. All right, here is the plan for the second half hour of our second hour. I'm dictating it right now. We'll talk college football, fly around Saturday up next. Not as chaotic this Saturday as we had seen for most of the year. Then a World Series recap, then a short preview of Monday Night Football. How does that sound? Good. What is next?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, from Sunday scores to Saturday, the final weekend in October of this college football season, week number 9. DRS, the trade deadline is exactly 1 week from tomorrow. The CFP rankings, their first unveiling, exactly 1 week from tomorrow. I think that's all that's happening exactly 1 week from tomorrow. Mm. Not entirely sure. So here's where it stands around college football, and here's how we're going to do things. I'm going to rattle off some scores. You react where you see fit. Texas A&M responds in the second half against LSU, winning the final 30 minutes 31-6. Why? Because the best quarterback isn't Connor Wigman, as they figured out in the second half in College Station. It's the true freshman Marcel Reed, who only threw the football twice for 70 yards, but had three rushing scores, A&M rallies, to knock off LSU in a hugely impactful SEC Saturday, 38-23. A&M covers as a slight home favorite. Alabama shows their resolve at home after their second loss, handling Missouri. Listen, Missouri is a top 25 team somehow, some way. They're not really. They've been getting housed by anybody with a pulse. Alabama, though, does blank them to win 34-0. And speaking of a bounce back spot, the Longhorns were tested in Nashville. Vandy does cover as an 18.5-point underdog. The Commodores a perfect 5-0 ATS as an underdog this year. But Texas does hold on for a victory, 27-24.
Let's keep it in the SEC here. We're going to start that LSU-Texas A&M game, because I was watching that here. Connor Wegman is so bad. I mean, just an awful, so awful quarterback. That then you go to Mike Vick Jr. and absolutely lights up the scoreboard and you torch LSU. It's like, what have we been waiting for here? What have we been watching with Wegman? He's a terrible quarterback. Now, you see that. Backup quarterback comes in, A&M goes, you know what? We're 5-0 now in the SEC. We got some juice at quarterback. We can make a run. Texas, I'm looking right at you. I see you win that game 27-24. Yeah, Quinn Ewers had 288 and 3 touchdowns. He's not the answer. Get that lightning in a bottle, right? I need Sarkisian to come out today and say, you know what? I saw the light. I watched the early line on the Sports Grid Network. That man is a damn genius in college football, Donnie Wrightside. We're going with Arch Manning. Light the fuse, Texas. Go to Arch and never look back. Come on now.
Quinn Ewers did throw an interception in Nashville, but was pretty good after that
for
Texas.
Good.
I still believe it's Quinn's show. When you look at the SEC odds, though, DRS, here's where the correlation between the Longhorns and the Aggies gets even better. Georgia is the favorite, plus 165. Texas just behind the Bulldogs, but of course that head-to-head tiebreaker at plus 250. The only undefeated team in the SEC in conference play. That's A&M, plus 460. The renewal of the Lone Star Showdown, the final weekend of the regular season in College Station at Kyle Field. It's Texas, A&M, and Texas for a spot potentially in the SEC championship game. It is going to be incredible. All right, next up, outside of the SEC, Notre Dame, a wagon that slowed down the midshipmen on Saturday in MetLife. I'm sure you've seen the stats. By now, Notre Dame scored 7 offensive touchdowns on Saturday against the Mids, more than the Jets and the Giants have scored combined, just 6 throughout their time at MetLife this year. Notre Dame hands Navy its first loss of the season. Oregon, number 1 for the first time since 2012. They looked the part, absolutely hammering Illinois, 38-9, covering as a 21.5-point favorite. But perhaps, Donnie, here's the game of the early window on Saturday. Ohio State holds on at the end to beat Nebraska, 21-17. Raiola throws a late interception that seals the deal for the Buckeyes, who also had a 4th-and-goal stand earlier in the second half. Nebraska does cover and covers easily as a 25.5-point underdog. The Cornhuskers show their resilience after getting absolutely embarrassed the week prior in Bloomington by Indiana. So that's good for Matt Rhule, who is building in the right way. Nebraska, more than a touchdown favorite at home in Lincoln against UCLA, to win its 6th game of the year, to get to bowl eligibility for the first time since 2016. But for the Buckeyes, DRS, in what is going to be a top 5 tilt Saturday in Happy Valley against Penn State, whew, things ain't looking great for Ohio State.
No, it's not. Like in the Chip Kelly offense here, it's supposed to be high octane, ripping it up and down the field. Will Howard, 13 of 16. You might say that's great here. Three touchdowns and one pick. But come on, where's that rushing game at? They're so talented in their backfield. Judkins, 10 for 29. Trayvon Henderson, 10 for 25. That's not good enough at this point. If you're looking at Ohio State, I love Oregon. I think they're probably the best team right now in the Big Ten, rightfully so, because they did beat Ohio State. But if you're going, I like to say in the NFL with the Detroit Lions, pound for pound on offense, Ohio State should be running up and down the field on every single opponent, wide receiver, tight end, running back, athletic quarterback. Something's just not working right now. We'll see if they can get it in tune the rest of the way, though.
Jeremiah Smith, a touchdown grab. Cornell Tate, a touchdown grab. Nebraska's defense, after giving up 56 to Indiana, looked a lot better on Saturday. Yeah. 2.1 yards per carry, DRS. Chip Kelly, as an offensive coordinator or head coach at Oregon, even with UCLA the last 3 years, the Bruins were a top 20 rushing offense in the country, averaging nearly 200 yards per game in every season. His final 2 years as the OC at Oregon, they averaged better than 200 yards per game on the ground. Top five rushing offense each of those 2 years. Not what we expected out of the Buckeyes, who have some offensive line issues, which leads us to Saturday. Before we get to this Saturday, Penn State hammers Wisconsin in Madison. It was a struggle early, all Penn State in the second half, with Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback after Drew Aller was injured late in the opening half. We'll see his status for this Saturday against the Buckeyes. Penn State trying to snap a 7-game skid against Ohio State. They remain perfect with the victory over Wisconsin.
Oh, what are you saying? Penn State's got a big weekend or big game against a team that they're probably not supposed to beat. Don't even watch the football game. James Franklin ain't beating that team. If they have a team that they need to beat, they never beat that team. Now Drew Aller's going to be banged up with a knee injury. You know he's going to be a gamer and try to give it a go, but the guy's got some wheels. And if you don't have those wheels in the pocket, good luck against that pretty stout Ohio State defense. But one of the things that we love here, and granted, I'm in an area that's supposed to be Penn State all love here. I couldn't stand Penn State growing up. So I always like to say when Penn State loses, America wins. Maybe that's going to be the case once again, because James Franklin in a big game, he ain't got the mojo.
I mean, the narrative, brother. The narrative on Saturday. Penn State's a 3.5-point dog against Ohio State. Ryan Day is 2-6 against AP top five teams. Penn State is ranked third in the country. James Franklin is 1-9 against Ohio State. 3-17 against AP top 10 foes. Whoever loses the game is going to be slandered, and probably deservedly so. Miami remains
perfect.
Sounds
like another contract extension.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so. They hammer Florida State, winning 36-14. They cover as a 20.5-point favorite. Florida State in danger of their worst year since 1975. More than likely, we'll see that. BYU defying the odds makers, the Cougs, into the top 10. They beat UCF as an underdog outright in Orlando, 37-24. Indiana is 8-0 for the second time in program history. Even with their backup quarterback, Taven Jackson, they cover at home against Washington, winning by 2 touchdowns as a touchdown favorite. Kansas State in Kansas, what a game it was in the Sunflower Showdown. Ole Miss responds from a bye and a loss, beating Oklahoma 26-24 at home.
Imagine having a head coach with a team that's undefeated in college football who couldn't sell his team on playing one game in a bowl game to show the rest of the country that you had it in you. Instead, he allowed his players to quit, which set the tone for that whole franchise at Florida State. They are an embarrassment, and it's right on their head coach's head. You can't get players to play. You quit on your school. And you know what Miami should have filed after that game? An injunction against Florida State to kick them out of the ACC. You know what? No penalty. Just let Florida State leave and float into the abyss right now, because that's how bad that football program is. And as a Miami fan, we absolutely love to see that.
Or just keep them there and continue to beat them big. Florida State is 1-7, would have to win out to avoid its worst season since 75. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How about a World Series that started on Friday night with heroics and drama? In fact, history. Freddie Freeman, DRS, a grand salami in extras of game number one. In the home half of the 10th, he sends it into right field, reminiscent of the 1988 World Series, and a walk-off home run in game number one of the hobbled Kirk Gibson. Freddie Freeman, who missed games in the NLCS with an ankle injury against the Mets, or maybe in the NLDS against the Padres, sends the Dodgers to a 1-0 series advantage, and Freddie Freeman was not done. In game number two, a home run as well, joining both Tommy Edman, the NLCS MVP, and Teoscar Hernandez, who all homered against Carlos Rodon in the first three innings of that game as the Dodgers hold on late. Top of the ninth, we go. Juan Soto leads off with a base knock. Giancarlo Stanton sends him home. Bases loaded for the Yanks, down by two, 4-2 the score in that game. Only one out in the inning against Blake Treinen, who was struggling. He gets an out against Anthony Volpe. They bring in a new pitcher for the Dodgers, and Luis Trevino does fly out to end the game on only one pitch. The Dodgers have a 2-0 series lead, two victories away from a World Series championship, winning both at the Ravine, 6-3 in game one, 4-2 in game number two.
Yeah, the scenario for the World Series was simple to me, and I thought the Yankees were in a great position at a plus 110 price opening night with Gerrit Cole on the mound to win that game. They should have won that game, and they lost. So my theory was, sure, if the Yankees win game number one, there's no guarantee they're going to win the World Series, and I would have bet the Dodgers in game number two moving forward. But the fact that the Yankees lost game number one with Gerrit Cole on the mound, there was no way they would be able to respond and come back. They're down 0-2. Is the series over? For me, in my mind, yes, it is. But obviously, three games in the Bronx, you win two out of three games, series, send it back, and now it's pressure. It's a great environment back in LA, and they just have to win one of those games. But having said that, I'm not so sure if we can rely on the Yankees, because if your top player, Aaron Judge, just can't show up in any moment. And also, sometimes, Ben, you have good plate appearances, you draw walks, you're hitting hard contact, high exit velo, and you're just getting out. It's like, boy, that's really unlucky. Aaron Judge is so lost at the plate that I understand what Boone is saying. They're asking him questions. Do you move him down? Do you drop him? It's hard to do that for your franchise ace MVP player. But when you're in the World Series, what matters more? Dropping him down in the lineup because you don't want to hurt like his feelings, or do you want better? Yeah. Because I'm telling you right now, in some of those spots, all you're doing is throwing slow curveballs on the outside corner of the plate, and he's chasing every one of those pitches with not a single chance to even make contact. He can't go, put it this way, you line up again in game number three and he's bad again. You don't just say, oh, we're going to stick with it and it's what got us here. You have to drop him down in that lineup. It's just a matter of fact. You're not getting what you need out of an MVP. If he was average, Ben, you might still be at least 1-1 heading back to the Bronx.
He is 1-for-9 in this World Series with 6 strikeouts. In this entire postseason, he is 6-of-40 at the dish. That's a 150 batting average with 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. All of that came in the first 3 games of the CS against Cleveland. He has struck out 19 times. He is going to win the American League MVP for the second time in 3 years, but in those 2 MVP-winning seasons in the AL, he has been worse than dreadful in the postseason. And frankly, when you wear pinstripes and your name is captain, that is how you are remembered. Giancarlo Stanton has been clutch. A 2-run home run against Jack Flaherty in game one that put the Yankees in front. 6 home runs in this postseason, all 6 coming in the 6th inning or later, and gave the Yanks some life with the RBI to score Juan Soto in the 9th. Juan Soto has been great. A solo shot, the only hit that Yoshinobu Yamamoto allowed in game number two was that solo shot to Juan Soto. The Yankees spoiled a sensational Gerrit Cole start in the opening game. 6 innings of work, only a single earned run. The Yankees are in a tough spot, reflected in the outright odds, DRS, minus 480 in favor of the Dodgers. So I'll ask you this very simply. Can the Yankees come back to win the World Series, or is it just a matter of time before the Dodgers win their second World Series crown in the last 5 years?
I do think it's just a matter of time. And also, I want to say this, though. Shohei Ohtani going down late injured in that game after sliding into second base. Looks like he's having a miraculous recovery with a legitimate chance and should be playing in game number three. Let's just say that doesn't go all that well. He plays and can't and sits the rest of the games out. You need to absolutely win game number three. If you lose that, you're down 3-0. You're down 0-3, excuse me. Yeah. You're not coming back. But just for me, again, playing this series out, they needed to win game number one. And sometimes, Ben, if you would have lost 6-1 with Gerrit Cole on the mound, hey, we never have a chance in that game. You should have won that baseball game. And you saw maybe that layover going, my goodness, if we would have just won that game, all the pressure on the Dodgers in game number two, we can just play with, you know what, free and clear. If we steal game number two, we're going to win this World Series. They didn't have that happen. And to have a two-out grand slam to put that game away, so devastating here. Gerrit Cole is probably going to pitch again in this series, hopefully, that they can even make it to a game number five. Yeah. But that was such a devastating blow, game number one. I think it's the Dodgers to lose at this point. There's no price point right now I would even take on the Yankees.
The first walk-off grand slam in the history of the World Series. That's a lot of history in Major League Baseball. Man. It is why Freddie Freeman is a minus money, minus 125 favorite to win World Series MVP. Shohei Ohtani, DRS, is expected to play. Tonight, says Dave Roberts. What are his limitations? We'll ask Dr. Chow about that in our third hour. The Yankees are a favorite tonight. First game in the Bronx. Clark Schmidt gets the nod for Aaron Boone and the Pinstripes. On the other side, it's Walker Buehler for the Dodgers. The Yankees should have the pitching edge here. Clark Schmidt has started two games for the Yanks in this postseason. Been pretty efficient. Two earned runs in 4 2/3 innings in both of those starts. Buehler was roughed up in his first outing against the Padres. Gave up 6 earned runs in the second, responded with 3 straight shutout innings, and then came back to start against the Mets to 4 innings of shutout work. He is a gamer. How do you see game number 3?
Yeah, probably still going to lean towards taking the, as you say, I like to say take the points in football season, but taking the underdog equation here with the Dodgers. Look at Walker Buehler. I only go by recency bias here. His last 41 batters, he's been pretty clean at this point, and there's so much pressure here. Can you imagine in the Bronx tonight, first inning, Aaron Judge strikes out? My goodness, man, watch out.
Oh, boomers, trash on the field, everything. Monday Night Football, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football tonight in the Steel City for a second consecutive week in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in primetime hosting a team that plays poor football in New Jersey. The Steelers and the Giants tonight. 5.5-point spread now in favor of the Steelers. If you want to take the 5.5, it says 6.5 there. But if you want to lay the 5.5, you got to pay for it. It's minus 120 in terms of the juice. 36.5. Is that total for a primetime game in Pittsburgh? Donnie, how do you start to break down Monday Night Football?
Look, if you're just looking at the side, it should be 16.5. You're looking at the total, Steelers should be able to cover it by themselves. Why? Because Russell Wilson is now your quarterback. But to be honest, I'm kind of surprised it is only listed at 5.5. Do we love the Steelers as being world beaters? Not necessarily, but the Giants are so god-awful. And the way the Steelers played last week where they had an awakening on offense, they should be able to run the football. Why? Because everybody does against the Giants. You should be able to throw the football. Why? Because everybody does it against the Giants. And the Steelers defense should absolutely, that front four, tee off on Daniel Jones in that pocket. I don't see one redeeming quality for the New York Giants tonight that I say to myself, I want to get involved in, whether it's a wide receiver prop, a tight end prop, a running back prop, a quarterback prop, other than interceptions and turnovers. Steelers tonight winning this game by more than a touchdown, I would be shocked if they didn't do that.
Yeah, you know, Donnie, I would agree. A lot of people look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, you see a total of 36.5, and you say, they might win this game, but it's probably going to be like 14-10. Not necessarily, man, with where the Steelers have been as a favorite post-Big Ben. Again, that was the start of the 2022 NFL campaign. They covered last week as a underdog at home against the New York Jets. Of course, winning that game outright. But DRS, a favorite 18 times, just 18 times, in the last now 2+ years in the NFL. They're 11-7 against the number as the favored side. They actually do cover to a decent hit rate as they are a winning football team. Now, meanwhile, for the New York Giants, this will be game number 23 for the G-men booked as an underdog consecutively. Week number 2 last year against the Cardinals, a slight favorite. They won that football game. Every other game since that point, an underdog. They are, in the previous 22, 11-10-1 against the spread. But, Donnie, there's not much else outside of that. And when you look at Daniel Jones, it's kind of hard to feel confidence that they are going to score points against the NFL's best scoring defense. Daniel Jones hasn't been terrible. It's maybe not all on him, but last week against Philadelphia, less than 100. 99 yards, no touchdowns, I guess no interceptions. How do you compare these quarterbacks tonight as we look at Russell Wilson as well?
No brainer. And the question is going to be, does Russ even need to throw for over 200 yards in this game? Because you look at the last two games for the Giants, they were wretched. I mean, they scored 7 points against Cincinnati when everybody lights that scoreboard up like a Christmas tree against that defense. And against the Philadelphia Eagles, they were dead to rights the minute that game started. And last week, the Philadelphia Eagles sacked Daniel Jones, or I should say Giants quarterbacks, 8 times in that game. Usually when you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and say, let me take a look, Ben, at some defensive props. A really good player who should get sacks, minus 120, minus 140, minus 150. T.J. Watt tonight to get a sack, minus 230. They are going to absolutely crumble that pocket tonight and embarrass the New York Giants.
DRS, they've only covered in one of their 5 losses this year. Short week Thursday night football against the Cowboys. Lost that game by 5, covered as a 5.5-point dog. The total is low for a reason. 36.5. It's because of how bad the Giants have been offensively and also the fact that New York has been under in 6 of 7 games. The Steelers started the year under in 3 straight, now over in 3 of their last 4. The Steelers have scored 32-plus points in their last 2. Whether it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, it's been pretty good. Donnie, we'll finish with this. We'll have a lot more on this game on the other side, even getting the public assessment to where things are. Do you think Daniel Jones remains the starter for the G-men the rest of the year? Or like last week, might we see some more Drew Lock the remainder of the way?
And now here's what we need. Giants fans, stick with me here because I'm an NFC East guy, and it was much more fun when 25 years ago the Giants used to be able to compete in the NFC East, it feels like. But now let's go over this. If you just keep Daniel Jones in there, he won't be your quarterback next year. If you just keep Daniel Jones in there, Brian Daboll won't be your coach next year. If you just keep Daniel Jones in there, Joe Shane will not be your general manager. And if any public shame out there, maybe Mara sells to the Tisch family where they can take over 51% ownership just to wipe that stain out of that franchise. Stay with the plan. You'll be better because of it. Don't get any wins here. Keep Daniel Jones. Be as embarrassing as you can be, and changes will be made. Don't change from Daniel Jones. Keep Daniel Jones. You'll be better off in the long term.
Unbiased insight from the NFC East guy. Hour 3 next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.